Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus. We're glad for each one's presence here this morning. I trust that our presence here is an indication that we mean what we sang in that last song. I'll be there. Is that what it was? Anyways, we know that there's times when we just we might be a little confounded and perplexed about life and just what really life is about. But we know that God is always there. Really appreciated the service this morning, the song, the devotional, and also the Sunday school lesson. Thank Brother Eric for teaching it. Bless us as we continue to look into His Word. The title of the message this morning is my personal aspiration. I trust it's yours as well. From the scriptures, as we look into Philippians, the third chapter, and get some message from the Lord for us there. Philippians 3. Apostle Paul had many things to say in his writings. Verses 8 through 11. You know, we have a lot of people have aspirations of what they want to be, and we ask the children, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they have say what they'd like to be, and sometimes it happens and other times it doesn't come that way, but God's plan is still good. And so we know that, but all of us are headed in one direction. We're just a day closer to eternity than we were yesterday. Kind of like you used to say at the teacher's room in Bible school, when the bell rang for the next class, we'd say, we're coming, ready or not. And that's the way it is when it relates to eternity. We're coming, ready or not. We will appear when God calls our name and asks us to show up. And we're glad that we can have things in order before. I don't know if sometimes we kind of fantasize what death must be like. And this past week has been some of the most beautiful sunsets, you know. I said, Lord, if I could just see a sunset like that just when I'm dying, wouldn't that be wonderful to know that it's okay? So many people are called to that spot. Most people will find themselves on the opposite side, not all right. Stormy clouds, remember thunder and lightning, I don't know what all, but anyways, won't be good. But Paul has an aspiration here in Philippians 3 that I trust that somehow we can get everybody interested in and make that your own as well. Let's read verses 8 through 3. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he goes on and says, not as though we had already attained, but we follow after. And I believe this morning we are on this side of eternity. We are in the dressing room for eternity, getting ready to go. And when God calls our name, that we'll be waiting. You know that song we said, I'll answer when you call. And so we're glad for that. In this chapter, Paul is putting life in the eternal perspectives. We make decisions, make investments. We do things. Sometimes said, well, I just didn't think. Well, that's true. Sometimes we don't think like we ought to, and we do some dumb things. But That's not as it relates to eternity. And I believe this morning that Paul, that the Lord would have us to be, each one of us to be ready, that when the call comes, that we will be answering it and do that with joy, not with grief. Mentions a number of things that he cannot need, that cannot be used to enhance our position with God, verses 5 through 7. If there's anybody that could have had something to boast about, it would have been the Apostle Paul. But reading 5 through 7, it says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And he goes on and gives his aspirations that I might be found in him. He mentions a lot of things that if he could have gloried in, but he says, they're just no good. I just can't do that. It doesn't help anyways. It isn't what counts. It isn't what makes the difference when we're called to face the judge of all the earth. And I'm glad this morning that he gave us direction how we can be ready for that day. While a good heritage we have, I think most of us here have some reasons to rejoice in our heritage. There might be some that don't, but I believe most of us that heritage is appreciated and can be used for many good advantages, but nevertheless is never be able to buy our way or right to be a child of God. I don't care what your last name is, it just does not suffice. It will not get your entrance into the kingdom of God because of the name. Paul said he had a lot of things. He was circumcised the right day. He was of the right tribe of Israel, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews. In other words, he was an example of the examples. And so I trust this morning that we will also realize that we are but needy creatures, each one of us. Paul makes it a point that salvation is only by faith in Christ, not by works. It is so easy to say to let the devil get us into one of the spiritual ditches. And those spiritual ditches are, it's either all works or the works don't count. Either one of them is still in the ditch, but we need to be in the straight and narrow way. I believe that it is a life of faith, but it's also a matter of that our works do follow us and that what we do make a difference. And I'm just glad this morning that we can have the assurance and the blessing of God in our lives, that we can rest in hope and trust and peace with God, that his promises are sure regardless of what they are. Of where we are in life and our position has nothing to do with whether we'll get to heaven or not. You don't have to be a bishop to get to heaven. You can be a doorkeeper of the house of God. But you have to be a child of God. And it's just a matter of our trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so the three points we'd like to consider this morning is to be found in him in verse 9, verse 10, to know him, and in verse 11, that I might attain. And we want to look at that in the following remarks. Turn with me to 352 in the Christian Hymnary. And maybe our song leader can just lead that. I like that song. It's an aspiration that I believe we all need. 352, oh, to be like thee. You know, we, from Sometimes we measure up, said, if I could just be like so-and-so, then I'd be happier. No, I don't suppose it would be, but you know, it's good to have aspirations. But this is one that I believe we all could improve on. And as we go these four verses, I think it shows us what our Lord was like. Shall we sing? Like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly for forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, How many of you have been to the Elkton prison and had a stamp put in your hand before you went into prison? Raise your hand. Okay. You know what it would have been like if they couldn't read that you wouldn't get out of prison, you'd have stayed there. You come back through the, before you go in, they put that stamp on your hand, and when you get come back out, you put your hand under the light, and if it shows up, you may go out, and if not, you'll go back and find yourself a bed, I guess. I don't know what they would do with you. I didn't have that experience, but I don't want it either. I want to be on the other side of the bars. Well, we said, stamp thine own image deep in my heart. That's quite an aspiration, brothers and sisters, this morning. You know, if that is really true, if God is able to do that in each one of us, the day when we go marching in, you'll all march in with me. The most glorious day we can think of. Just have the stamp of Jesus. He said, come on in. You're welcome. And if you don't have it, you go off to the left. Well, I have a lot of growing to do yet. People say a lot of nice things about me sometimes. They've said a lot of other things too, but full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind. Anybody here that completely fills all that? I don't suppose. Just full of compassion. You know, us Mennonites have a lot of records of scraps and fusses, and we can get in all kinds of tanglements. But wonder what God thinks about it. It's not because we're full of compassion, loving and forgiving, tender and kind. You know, some time ago I had a little encounter with the brethren. I wrote back and told him, I said, you know what, that's not right. You need to repent of that. Oh, this pastor wrote back and said, time will take care of that. No, it won't. Time doesn't take care of that. Time erases some of our memories, but it doesn't take care of it. I said, only repentance take care of it. And so I know what it means to buckle down and go and get right with people and just humble ourselves and confess, you know, I made a mistake. And I said, from now on, when I meet you, the game's over. The count's settled. He said, it's over with. That's a wonderful feeling to have. But you only get that when you humble yourselves and do what it takes to be found in him. Lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Lord, I am coming. May the Lord help us to be that today. And in the days ahead, as we think of our aspirations, that the only thing that really matters, brothers and sisters, this morning is when it's my turn, that God is satisfied. We have the song we sing. Yes, I am satisfied with him, but is he satisfied with me? That's really what makes the difference. And he is when he sees the blood. We're studying in Exodus right now, and after a while we'll get to the place where they'll have the blood applied, and the Lord passed over the houses where there was the blood and there was no death there. But where there wasn't any blood applied there, there was death, even among the animals. And it must have been a wailing and weeping day in Egypt that day. But God has made a way that we can have our sins forgiven and send them on to judgment on ahead and be ready to go when he calls us. Number one, to be found in him. What's your answer to be found in him? What does it really take? I believe it's one of faith. Only by faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work in Calvary. John 3, you must be born again. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, educated, he couldn't understand, and Jesus said, you mean you don't understand? In our own words, no, I don't understand. Well, that's by how we get there, by the finished work of Calvary. I think of John 3 many a time, and I think of that. To be found in him is to be like him and to be made new creatures in him. You know, it's not a matter of understanding it completely, but receiving it by faith. We understand it sufficiently to exercise faith, but we never completely understand it. I don't think it's intended for us to know all the fullness of that until we get over there and to see him face to face. Romans 5 talks about the five much mores in that chapter. It relates certain things, and he says, much more than. And that's all has to do about the finished work of Christ, what he did for us. By accepting by faith all the salvation scriptures that we know. We know Romans 10, 9, and 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that by heart, but do we know it by the experience? 1 John 1, 9, we know that verse. If we confess our sins, or Hebrews 11, 1 and 6, by faith, it's an act of faith, and I believe that's what we need in order to be found in him. And that's what Paul is teaching here. He says, it's not that he was circumcised the right day. It's not that he was of the right tribe of Israel. It's not because he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In fact, he had some things that were, I believe there were a temptation for him to be discouraged about because of how he treated the Christians. He said he treated them very badly and persecuted them. And concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness which is of the law, blameless. That just stretches my imagination. Paul, you really telling the truth here? That you were blameless by the law? But it says here, and I believe it. But what things were gained to me? Those that he could have said, look at me, I am an example. He said, no, it's nothing, really nothing at all. I did nothing to impress God. And so, oh, to be like him. So I'm glad this morning that he made it possible that we can have our sins forgiven and we can look forward to that day. This condition in Christ cannot be attained by any of the former things that I mentioned or doing the works of the law, but by which Paul was a prime example of following the law and doing that was in the law. Neither is that which through relationship, your dad might have been a preacher or a bishop or a deacon, or he might have been a jailbird, but you have just as much right to the kingdom of God as anybody else, because faith, if we exercise faith, it's relationship, it's abundance or lack of, has nothing to do with our relationship with God. And so we're glad for that. I believe that Paul said he had a lot of things to glory in. The thief on the cross, you see, when he was hanging there, and it was just a matter of minutes, maybe a few hours, and he was going to meet his judge. And there the man on the middle cross was his answer. He said, Lord, when you get into the kingdom, just remember me. Jesus said, today you'll be with me. The other fellow on the other side, he kept on blaspheming and talking. I don't know what he said, but you know, he did not see Jesus as his answer. And he went on into eternity that way. Or we think of the adulterous woman. She had nothing to glory in. She was caught in the very act. And Jesus said, Well, if you don't have any sins, you can start throwing stones. The law says stoner, killer. And no one threw stones. And after a while, they all left. He said, woman, where are your accusers? He said, no man, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He did not condone the sin, but he simply forgave and made it possible that she could be his child. What a wonderful privilege. Oh, there are many examples in the scriptures. We think of the Philippian jailer. You know, he had there Paul and Silas in the middle of the night, midnight. He was the least favorable time to be happy and rejoicing. They were singing praises to God, and the jailer heard him. And he drew that sword out and was ready to slash it through his body. He said, don't do that. He would have went into eternity that way. But what do I have to do, Paul? He said, repent. You know, we put people in categories. We put them in places where they're not worthy. We think, well, not downcast. He's a bunch of junk. He's nothing. No, he's a soul. They are a soul. And of course, our own personal experience today is we're no better. The worst of sinners today can still be found in him. It's hard for me to imagine some people being Christians. But you see, people with tattoos, their arms are just loaded with tattoos. Their bodies are a mess because of tattoos. It was the experience at YSU the other week. You know, they're talking to the people, and they had earplugs in there, and had to get their attention to even hear us. And I don't want that piece of paper. I don't want that. I believe one thing for sure is that there's a day coming when they appear before God. They'll probably see us standing there holding out that paper. They said, no thanks, I don't want it. But it's too late. It'll be too late. To be found in him, you have to do it in the right time. So the worst of sinners can still be found in him. I'm glad for that, and that's Paul's aspiration, that he would live in such a way and exercise faith, believe in the finished work of Calvary, so that he can be in Christ Jesus when he appears before him. Secondly, to know him. What do you know about the Lord? This speaks about a personal relationship, that I actually know Jesus, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Nothing pretty about it at all. When I think of Calvary, when I think about the mangled body of Jesus on the cross, when I think of the people hollering at him and saying, you saved others, you can't save yourself. That's the kind of a savior you are. You know, and all the ridicule that he got. Well, it made the difference to know him. Even Judas, poor fellow, instead of doing what Peter did, he just went out there and ended his life. How well are you acquainted with Jesus this morning? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Is he your friend? Is he what you can depend on? Is he really close to you? Do you know him? Or is the song, I like the song that says, I want to love him more. There is a story ever new. I'll sing it over and over. How Jesus came and died for me. I want to love him more. The power of his resurrection. The transforming power from death to life. You remember the occasion. You remember when this happened to you as a person, when you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. in the fellowship of his sufferings. That kind of gives me a little bit of a twinge of conscience when I think the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, we kind of, I want to know him as a friend. I want to know him as a savior. I want to know him as a miracle worker. But to be identified with him at the cross is a different experience. I believe this morning that God wants us to identify with his people. And when we suffer, that he understands. That we might know him. Knowing him takes effort, takes a time of commitment to God and getting rid of the sin question. And lastly and thirdly, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What will that be like? You know, we think of Herod, we think of Pharaoh, we think of all those Bible characters. Where's Pharaoh been all these years? We know where he's at. He's not in the bliss. He was so close, and yet he said, "Who is the Lord? I don't know him." And in essence is that I don't care about knowing him. And this morning, the call still goes out, do you know him as a personal savior and friend? Just because your dad does doesn't mean you do. Just because your mom is a saint doesn't mean you are, but you can be. And so this morning, the call goes out that I might attain the resurrection of the dead. 42 years ago, my mother was laying a corpse. I think the funeral was maybe today, 42 years ago. Seems like a long time, but what you been doing all these time, this 42 years? Want to love him more, I suppose. Yes, our mind goes many directions, doesn't it? It was his desire. And in verse 12, he said, not that he had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend or might arrest that which I'm also apprehended in Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or have attained that. But this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth and those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as though ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you before and even tell you even now, weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. How does it happen that people turn away from truth? It's a process. I think it can be instantaneous, but I think most of the time it's a process of just simply, that's not important, this isn't important, and so we just, after a while, it's all gone. Have nothing left to hang on to. So you're a works preacher. Yes, I am. I believe in works, in good works, not because they save us, but because we're saved, we do it. And therefore, it makes a difference what goes. Paul had a long list of sufferings for his Lord recorded in 1 Corinthians 11. 21-33, he said if he was all these things he suffered, but he said that really wasn't what his hope was, that he might attain, is because that he had identified with the Lord of glory. He not only was found in him, but he knew him, and that he might know him in a personal way, that he might attain at the resurrection day. I know Paul recognized that he had not yet attained, but that he followed after. The chapter climaxes in the last two verses as key words. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be formed like, fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby is able to save it, subdue all things unto himself. There's so many scriptures of hope and comfort and encouragement that we need to lay hold on. But it only does us good when we have laid hold on the fact that we have made John 3:16 our walk of life, that he is our Redeemer and Savior. I'm glad this morning for the fact that it's been a lifetime for me. Not that I've walked always that way. Yes, I was only 15, but I had so many falls, so many deviations from truth that I had to come back on track again. That's not necessary. The Lord is able to keep us from falling, but we must place our confidence in him, that I might know him, that I might be found in him, so that he can attain. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I had no other joy than to hear that you would also attain with me.